It pains me to see what people are so willing to accept. And while I was there having radiation treatment, and she noticed it, sent me to a rheumatologist, and that's where I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. 2 years and to the date, I mean, to the month, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And I had a guy on each side and lost my balance. They put me on a bench and they said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry, we're calling the ambulance." All of a sudden, I couldn't, my left side, I couldn't move it. And all I could say was the word stroke. It was so bad. And, but they discovered that from the IV, I had gotten staph A.
So that's an infection, right?
Yeah, that's a deadly infection. And thought, I just can't walk anymore. I hurt. It's just, I'm gonna, and my family's already talking about putting me in a home. So I've been carnivore 14 months now. I started to eliminate my medications on my own.
So you were on like every medication under the sun, and now you're medication free.
Medication free. I have no symptoms.
You probably would have been ecstatic before if you could have just flatlined and been normal, but you're like turning into the opposite of that now.
Well, yeah, I mean, because as I'm starting to feel better, I'm like, I'm just going to keep going and do it. But I've had a dream of walking the St. Francis of Assisi Trail, the French Way. It's 800 kilometers, 500 miles.
Carrie here for the Carnivore Diet movie, and thank you so much for watching our YouTube videos and listening to our podcasts. It's because of you and your support that we're able to do this carnivore diet documentary. We're making great progress, and I'm not going to stop until we reach millions of people. But we still need to raise more funds in order to film this properly to the level needed to get it on one of these big streaming services. So we're asking for your help. If you would, please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. And once you're there, you can sign up for free to our email newsletter. And once a week, we'll be sending out updates behind the scenes. We'll tell you about new meetups. We'll give you special invites and things like that. Completely free. Sign up there. The other thing you can do at the website is purchase our little portable travel size Redmond salt shaker with a keychain holder. People have been loving these. We offered them on our 24-hour live stream. You can purchase these right on the website, and every proceed, every penny that we get from profit goes right towards the carnivore diet documentary. And the other thing we have there are the water bottles and the cutting boards. They're completely customizable and you can engrave them. Every penny from those goes to support the Carnivore Diet documentary. You can also link on over to the GoFundMe. That's where we'll get the most bang for your buck is there. So please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. Thank you. Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity. I've got my shirt on, the power of a proper human diet. And today I welcome Mimi to the channel. How are you doing, Mimi?
I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for doing this. I watched a few videos and heard about your story. And so I was hoping maybe if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe your life before you found the carnivore diet.
So just real quick, I grew up in northern New Jersey, a real pretty part of the country. It was a nice childhood. I did have asthma back then, quite severe asthma, so it was limited my activity. Discovered horses by accident when I was about 12 years of age. And absolutely fell in love with them. Ended up riding, being a competitive nationally equestrian, and coincidentally grew out of my asthma and built a lot stronger lungs. And that was a real blessing. I've always been adventuresome, always loved the outdoors. Ended up getting married, had have three daughters, and now I have three grandsons. And moved to the South in the late 70s, and then just lived a pretty normal life. I grew up eating well. I grew up with meat hanging in the root cellar, bacon slabs, beef that was cured, and so we ate pretty much nose to tail growing up, and real healthy. So that helped me quite a lot. But I eventually, as I got into my 20s and so, ended up leaning more towards plant-based, was vegan for probably about 6 years, and then highly plant-based. Actually, was vegan until I moved here, and right before I moved here in 2000. And was active, biked about 125 miles a week, did weights in my 40s, was a stay-at-home mom. And when my youngest went off to college, right before I discovered that I was creative, it ended up being a dinnerware designer, and my career took off. And that's where I ignored and stopped doing what I was doing that kept me relatively healthy, and worked myself into the ground, 16, 18 hour days, and gave up doing all the things, the fitness and the outdoor activities. And that's when things started to go south.
So you were pretty healthy and doing well up until that point.
I was, other than the severe asthma, it was not exercise induced. Luckily, it was when I got an infection, a cold, I would get bronchitis, and kept that to a minimum in my adulthood. So yes, I was, and pretty active. Dog sledded, kayaked, did a lot of horse packing, of course, riding, biking 300 miles in Ireland with my own gear. A friend and I went. So wow. Yeah, I did Outward Bound right before I was 50, carrying a 65-pound pack in the Beartooth Wilderness. So yeah, I would say pretty adventuresome, and more so than probably a lot of people my age.
I was just going to say, it sounds like a lot of exciting adventures. Getting me excited to get outside and do something.
Yeah.
So on the vegan side for 6 years, how was that for you? Were you okay that way, like health-wise, energy-wise?
I think I managed through it pretty fine. I was young enough, fit enough, healthy enough that it hadn't caught up for me yet. It eventually did, and it came up, it caught up with me pretty hard. But I seemed to do fine with it. I didn't flourish or anything, but I was able to hold my own. And I was young enough that not all these things can show up when you're younger.
Right.
And I think I got enough fresh air, enough sunshine, was active enough that it compensated for it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It seems interesting because I know a lot of people, my daughter included, she was vegan for 5 years. It seems like 5-6 years seems to be kind of a number where I've heard from a lot of vegans like, yeah, I did it for 5 or 6 years and then I kind of stopped. But yeah. My daughter wasn't doing the other things as much as she should have, the outdoors, the exercise, the sunshine, right. The natural things. So I think right around year five, she was doing good for a while, but she started getting really fatigued and tired all the time. And so she called it quits and actually went carnivore with me at year five.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. Okay. So then you started working a whole bunch.
Yeah. Started working a whole bunch, way too much, and started to neglect the things that I hadn't neglected before. I was in my, I got through menopause, not very well, but I got through it, hit my late 50s. And that's where I started to have some falls, a couple breaks, some that required surgery. Developed a disease called Dupuytren's and had to have radiation therapy for that. Otherwise, I was going to lose the use of my hand. And while I was there having radiation treatment, the radiologist noticed, and now at this point, I'm not sleeping. I'm in an enormous amount of pain. I don't really understand what's going on. Just thinking I'm tired. I had two surgeries that really were pretty, they just took a lot out of me. And she noticed it, sent me to a rheumatologist, and that's where I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. Mm. And did the, all the medications, the prednisone for a couple of years, the biologics, the methotrexate, which is the drug used often for breast cancer, a low dose of that, but I was on that, the Plaquenil, which was the one that probably caused the least amount of symptoms, but was on that, had trouble, became severely allergic to one of the drugs, they put me on another. And shortly after that, I started to develop some neuro symptoms. And 6 months from that point where, to the month, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So with the rheumatoid arthritis, what sort of symptoms were you having there?
Oh, I you know, if I would to sit for 5 minutes and go to stand, I couldn't put any pressure on my feet. I ended up just standing all day long until I went to bed. And when I got out in the morning, it was just, I had my feet, my neck, and my hands, a swelling joint, just a lot of, you know, just an ill feeling. And, you know, movement was painful. Some redness. But yeah, it really hit me in the neck and the and my feet, and then my hands third, last.
That had to be such a change for you, going from all of the adventure and outdoors and exercising to barely being able to walk.
Yeah, it was really tough. And I tried paleo at that time, but paleo just didn't suit me. So then I started on this low carb, you know, I eliminated nightshades, eliminated the gluten products. And just, you know, started doing a little bit more of the low carb. Then with Parkinson's, they put me, I went on the medication because I had quite a lot of symptoms. And the medication did help me, but one of the downsides of the medication is you can't have fat or protein. It competes with the medication.
Oh.
So now, and then it makes you terribly nauseous. And unfortunately, people with Parkinson's or even suspected cannot take simple anti-nausea medicine like Flanagan. It can cause, you know, psychosis, mental disorders, or whatever. So there's actually a lot of medications people with Parkinson's aren't allowed to take. So I had a lot of nausea, and then, you know, started my graham cracker, banana, and saltine diet. Because I'm still working full time, and I'm taking medication. Originally started 5-6 hours. Within a year, I was taking pills from the moment I woke up at 5, about 45 minutes before I got out of bed. And I would take 2 pills and do that every 3.5 to 4 hours just to get through the day until 10 o'clock at night. And at nighttime, when I was home from work and I didn't need to be on. And on is the term used for when you're least likely to display symptoms. And I couldn't afford for symptoms to be shown at work at that time. So at home, when I'm by myself, if I had symptoms, slowness, I did not have a tremor. That was the only symptom I didn't have. That then I would have my little bit of protein, which was just barely a fistful of protein at night.
Wow. Can you talk a little bit more about the Parkinson's and what does that diagnosis entail and what sort of symptoms were you having?
So the best way to get a diagnosis is not through your neurologist, even though a lot of people go that way. It's to go to a Parkinson's center. At the time, there were 12, maybe during the course of my illness, there were 12 in the U.S. I went to 3 and was diagnosed by 3. It's clinical. It's the only way for diagnosis. It's not definitive. And 25% of the people diagnosed with it will lose that diagnosis in 5 to 10 years. It's a really hard diagnosis. There's four things that you have to have. I had 3 of them. The one that people know mostly is it's a tremor, and I did not. I had a little finger tremor. I did have a voice tremor that was typical of people with Parkinson's, and I had to do a special therapy for that. I also was losing my ability to speak, and was starting to have a little trouble early on with some swallowing, so I did an intensive program called LOUD. Rigidity is another one. I had cogwheel rigidity, slowness in movement, and balance issues. So I had those last 3. Actually, severe balance issues. I flunked all the pull tests where they pull you back and see if you can recover. But my early symptoms were, you know, there was something that was off when I moved. My movement was slower. And, you know, I'd get up and I'd have to hold the chair sort of to guide myself, and my steps were slower. And I'm one of those people that I can move too fast. You can get a headache around me because I move too fast. And now all of a sudden I'm moving slow. I had trouble swinging my arm. I was Parkinson dominant on my left side. So I couldn't stop swinging my left arm, dragging my leg a little bit. some sleep disorders. My girls notice masking where you lose your facial expression. You think you're smiling and you're not. And they call it a masking face. It was minor, but it was enough that they picked up on that. And then I started to have some cognitive issues. I'm really very sharp. I can hold a lot of information. I can manage a lot of things. And I'm struggling to, and I also minored in math, so I'm really good with numbers. I can keep an enormous amount of numbers in my head. And now I'm having trouble doing, you know, basic addition, division, and what's called executive function, which is pretty much what we do in a day. And so I'm having trouble putting a meal together. It just was off. And those were my initial symptoms. And then I developed more as it progressed. But that's what I went into the clinic with those.
Carrie here for the Carnivore Diet movie. And thank you so much for watching our YouTube videos and listening to our podcast. It's because of you and your support that we're able to do this Carnivore Diet documentary. We're making great progress, and I'm not going to stop until we reach millions of people. But we still need to raise more funds in order to film this properly to the level needed to get it on one of these big streaming services. So we're asking for your help. If you would, please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. And once you're there, you can sign up for free to our email newsletter. And once a week, we'll be sending out updates behind the scenes. We'll tell you about new meetups. We'll give you special invites and things like that. Completely free. Sign up there. The other thing you can do at the website is purchase our little portable travel size Redmond salt shaker with a keychain holder. People have been loving these. We offered them on our 24-hour live stream. You can purchase these right on the website, and every proceed, every penny that we get from profit goes right towards the Carnivore Diet documentary. And the other thing we have there are the water bottles and the cutting boards. They're completely customizable and you can engrave them. Every penny from those goes to support the Carnivore Diet documentary. You can also link on over to the GoFundMe. That's where we'll get the most bang for your buck is there. So please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. Thank you.
What were your daughters thinking when all this was going on? Because it seemed like you were really active and healthy. And then it seems like from what you're saying, it was like pretty drastic change pretty quick.
It was a pretty quick one, you know, from the RA, which took a long time. You know, that takes at least a year. Took me a year and a half to even get that under control. It was tough for them. It was tough for them to watch, to see me fail. I mean, they tried, you know, they tried hard and they tried to make my life easier. But I think it was really tough for them to see their mother fail. Mm. And along with that failing, came an aging process. You know, so I'm looking older and older as this is going on. And of course, I'm looking older and older as they're piling more medication after medication on top of me. Because about a year into the Parkinson's diagnosis, I was became a multiple system atrophy suspect. That's a Parkinson's plus. It's a rapid decline. Usually, though, it typically looks like Parkinson's for the first 5 years. And then after that 5-year period, you're released if your symptoms aren't developed, or if your symptoms start to escalate. At that point, you've got about three years, maybe five tops to live after that. It's a pretty rapid decline after that 5-year period. And I started to exhibit symptoms that were suggestive of that autonomic system, symptoms. And they just kept upping my medicine by, you know, I was on 1200 milligrams, which is an enormous amount. That's typically reserved for somebody. Here I'm in my second year, and that typically is for somebody maybe 8-10 years down the road. In fact, a lot of people the first couple of years can get by without medication. And I mean, I'm just, I think 1800 milligrams is maximum, and I'm at 1200 and climbing. But so you go to the best place, if anybody you suspect to go, it is to go one of these top centers where you are you are treated by a team of doctors, vocational therapists, speech therapists. So you're not just in there for your 15-minute appointment. We think you have something. After the first appointment, which was probably about an hour and a half, with them, and they have 2 years extra of medical education, then you go back for a day clinic and you see the rounds, and you probably have seen 15 people in this center, including some of them have some really high-tech testing where they measure your steps and how you move. And that's the best place. I mean, that's the best one. And we ended up going to three.
Did any of the medication ever seem to help?
It did help. It did help a lot. But again, I was having off symptoms. So in that every 3.5 to 4 hours, maybe I had 2 good hours in there. Mm. Because it takes about 45 minutes for your first for your dose to kick in. And then it won't, you peak for about an hour, hour and a half, and then the dose stops working. And then it, before you wear off of the medication, you're taking your next dose.
Mm. Try to get ahead of it a little
right.
bit.
Right. And you can't eat protein or fat around your dose. So that's where my diet really tanked.
Mm.
Because it competes with the medication. And I was still working at the time and I couldn't afford that.
Right. Well, you mentioned earlier you started working these crazy hours, and that was when things kind of went south.
Right.
Did your diet kind of go south, or do you think it was more just stress and working too much?
I think stress, working too much, and definitely not sleeping. At this point, maybe I'm sleeping 3 or 4 hours. And, you know, you can't heal. You can't stay well if you don't sleep.
Right.
And, you know, just the fact that I could function didn't mean that I was getting the rest that I needed.
Yes.
And I could function on 3 or 4 hours of sleep because I can push myself really hard.
Mm.
Way too hard. That's been a lesson for me in this. And, but I wasn't getting the rest that I needed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important. I got people like, oh, I slept for 8 hours. Even if you could get 8 hours, you were only getting three. Sometimes 8 hours isn't even enough if you're not getting into that good, deep, regenerative sleep where you wake up and feel relaxed. And I did that for years and years myself, and I always thought I'm sleeping enough, and then I just started dragging more and more and starting to get depression and anxiety and things like that. Did you ever end up with mental health issues or depression, anxiety, things like that?
No, I didn't. You know, I actually had extensive testing. I didn't test as cognitive deficient, though I knew I had slowed down, and people who knew me knew that I slowed down and that I couldn't handle what I could. And they, my family thought that I was depressed, but I didn't, I wasn't depressed. I mean, I'm in a room with a guy for 5 hours. He's like, you're not depressed. You know, what you're experiencing in this sort of lack of emotion and this masking and this unenthusiastic personality is just a part of the illness and a part of the symptoms that you're having, which is separate. And people can have dementia. I mean, you can have depression, and of course dementia is also part of Parkinson's, but I wasn't suffering for that. And I even did a test with a medication, which just, now I'm not sleeping at all. I mean, I just was wired and I didn't take it. So no, I didn't. You know, I definitely was losing heart.
Hmm.
You know, I was definitely starting to feel beat down.
Right. So you're taking a lot of medication for the Parkinson's, and then did the rheumatoid arthritis ever clear up, or were you taking medications for that at the same time?
Oh, no, I'm taking for that. I'm taking 4 medications for that, including an injection. So my medications for that were $60,000 a year. My injections were just $4,800 a month for 4 injections.
Are those just alone. Like steroid injections to?
No, not steroid, the biologics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I'm taking that. I'm taking Parkinson's, and I'm taking a few in nighttime and day. They tried me on a couple, Azelect, a few others that maybe might be able to curtail the illness some, or, you know, stop some sort of progression. So they kept trying me on those. You know, I've got my asthma medicine, so I've got a couple of those. I'm taking now omeprazole. because now I've got the worst heartburn. Mm-hmm. And also at that point, I was diagnosed with really severe folic acid deficiency, B12 deficiency. So now we're adding injections for that because those numbers are tanked. There just were so many medications. I had an app to try to control it, because pretty much every hour and a half, you know, to 3 hours, I'm taking something.
Jeez. It's so scary too, because they have all these charts and stuff. This interacts with that. But when you're taking that much medication, it's like, do they really know if I'm taking this combination of seven different drugs, if there's some sort of downstream effect or.
Yeah. You wonder. I used to carry something around with my wallet just in case something happened with all my, I had so many medications, and then now there's medications now that I'm allergic to. So I've got, I wore a bracelet and I've got a list in my pocketbook. And I mean, pretty much everything I did or participated in, it's like, here's my list of medications and here's what I can't take. Mm. It was pretty consuming. And actually the Parkinson's pills, every 3 months I would get them refilled, and I get two bottles of 900 pills of that one drug just to get me through three. So it was 300 pills a month just of one.
Wow.
Just to put it in perspective. And right. that's one of 13, 300 a month.
Oh. So from the time you were diagnosed with Parkinson's, how long did that sort of progress, I guess, until the next sort of big milestone you experienced?
So it was about 2 years. I had to quit work. I couldn't work any longer, though I did stay on part-time working, one day a month. And it wasn't that I was so attached to what I was working with. I just didn't like being told I'm too sick to, I can't work. Mm. That was pretty tough. And then that's what it came down to. So I went on about 2 years, tried the best I could. And then 5 years ago, so I'm about a few months over my 2 year mark with the Parkinson's. It was actually February 7th. It was a really nice day, exceptionally warm weather. And I ended up by accident losing an earbud and ended up walking 4 miles. Was kind of really impressed that I walked 4 miles. I had been having trouble getting around. And I got a little burst of energy and felt good. And I sat on a park bench as I had something cooking in the oven. Went to get up to go back to my place, and I felt dizzy. And it was within a few minutes after that I had a stroke.
Amy, geez.
I know.
Were you like, enough already?
Carrie here for the Carnivore Diet movie, and thank you so much for watching our YouTube videos and listening to our podcast. It's because of you and your support that we're able to do this Carnivore Diet documentary. We're making great progress, and I'm not going to stop until we reach millions of people. But we still need to raise more funds in order to film this properly to the level needed to get it on one of these big streaming services. So we're asking for your help. If you would, please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. And once you're there, you can sign up for free to our email newsletter. And once a week, we'll be sending out updates behind the scenes. We'll tell you about new meetups. We'll give you special invites and things like that. Completely free. Sign up there. The other thing you can do at the website is purchase our little portable travel size Redmond salt shaker with a keychain holder. People have been loving these. We offered them on our 24-hour live stream. You can purchase these right on the website, and every proceed, every penny that we get from profit goes right towards the Carnivore Diet documentary. And the other thing we have there are the water bottles and the cutting boards. They're completely customizable and you can engrave them. Every penny from those goes to support the Carnivore Diet documentary. You can also link on over to the GoFundMe. That's where we'll get the most bang for your buck is there. So please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. Thank you.
So what happened? So you're in a park and you have this?
I'm in a park and I was by myself. It's a miracle. I mean, so much of this is a miracle. I could see, I tried to dial the phone and I couldn't, because I'm really feeling dizzy. And at first I thought it was low blood pressure, which is can be a part of Parkinson's, and I have a tendency to have low blood pressure. Thought maybe I'd gotten up, but I couldn't see the phone. Apparently I tried my daughter, I couldn't get her, and then had tried my son-in-law, and luckily that was visible, but I couldn't get the button to hit it to call him. And out of the corner of my eye, there were two guys ready to jog. And I was able to call, you know, I said, like, excuse me, because that's all I could get out. And I'm still not aware what's going on. And they came over and I asked them to walk foolishly, because I'm still thinking I'm going to be okay. I asked them to just walk me to my front door. I lived in a townhouse and there was a park in front. But it was a kind of townhouse where there were shops down below. So you're not going to. I wouldn't have seen anybody. They would have found me there the next morning because a lot of the townhouses were vacant. But anyway, I asked them to walk me and they wanted to call an ambulance. I said, no, I'm fine. Just if you get me to my front door, I'll be okay. And I didn't make probably 20 steps. And I had a guy on each side and lost my balance. They put me on a bench and they said, ma'am, I'm sorry, we're calling the ambulance. Hmm. And as they're calling the ambulance, all of a sudden my left side, I couldn't move it. And all I could say was the word stroke. And I didn't.
Here we hear from Healing Humanity with a quick interruption. I hope you're enjoying Mimi's incredible story. It's our goal with this documentary I've been working on to follow the story of real individuals over the course of 1 year that are returning to a proper human diet, returning to natural like Mimi did and having incredible results. If you're interested in sharing your story or supporting our documentary, it's been entirely crowdfunded. Please visit donate.healinghumanity.movie. There's a link in the description below. Every penny we get from donations go to support our documentary efforts. We've already filmed Bill Knott. We filmed Maggie, we filmed Jeff DeProsperous, Dr. Tony Hampton, and we just got back from filming Dr. Ken Berry, and we're hoping to film and gather more stories, just like Mimi's incredible story. So without further ado, back to Mimi's story.
Remember anything until I got in the ambulance and they woke me up. I couldn't move my hand clawed up, I couldn't move my side, I couldn't speak. And apparently I slumped over onto one of them.
Wow. So they take you to the hospital?
Yeah. So luckily I got, and luckily the guys were smart enough that before my phone self-locked, they were able to reach my son-in-law with my phone. I got to the hospital in a stroke center probably within 45 minutes, if not less, I'm assuming from what I hear after. And that's where I got TPA, which is a drug that helps with clots. And I had a medium stroke. I actually came through. I was in the hospital for 3 days and came through the stroke really well. Hmm. I had the head of the stroke center there. That was my physician. And I came through remarkable and was released 3 days later without further treatment.
So the TPA medicine, just for anyone listening, if you get a stroke, that's what you want to get as soon as possible, right?
Yeah, I think I heard 2.5 hours. I've heard somebody say 3.5, but you want it right away, because typically when you have a stroke, you'll have a series.
Yeah.
You know, something will happen after, and you want to prevent that from happening. You want to prevent if you have a small one from a larger one coming, and the center is maybe 15 minutes. So I'm being generous when I say 45, and that's the first thing I remember when I'm in the hospital is they're saying we want to give you something. Do you consent? And we nod your head because I still can't speak at this time. Mm. You know, I still can't move my one side. And I think I got it really within a half an hour. I mean, it was that quick.
So that could have very well saved you from potentially more strokes or possibly being paralyzed or stuck in that position forever, right? Where you can't talk or find your words or.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, whether another one was coming or not, we won't ever know, but another one did came, and it took a few hours for things to come back enough that I was released up from, you know, the stroke center up to my room. But I came through it fine, and I was sent home. Stayed with my daughter and son-in-law. Thankfully, I wanted to go to my place. They said, no, we're going to watch you for the weekend. or for a couple of days, just because. And within 24 hours, it didn't feel good. And they just thought, well, you know, I've been through a lot. My health's already not good. And I've just been through a lot in the hospital. And my back started to hurt. And I asked my daughter, and of course, everybody's like, you know, you've been in bed for 3 days with bags. And now you're lying in bed, not feeling good, resting, and not paying too much attention. I asked my daughter just to help me get up out of bed and just walk to the restroom, and I was going to go back to bed. And I got to the end of the bed and passed out. Luckily, she caught me because I went back in my head, and that's not good and that's why they keep you long, because for TPA, and why they check you every half an hour, because then you run a risk of anything happening, of, you know, bleeding. And so was rushed back to the hospital again. When I woke up from being passed out, I was in the most excruciating pain of my life. And I begged him, and I am tough. I can handle an enormous amount of pain. And I begged him not to move me. And the firemen are on the second floor. And they said, we have to move you. And I said, please don't. It just, every time they moved, I would just scream. My family's like, never heard their mother scream. It was so bad. And sometime in the middle of the night, luckily they kept me. I'm one of these people that I have perfect blood work when I'm at death's door. And I had absolutely perfect blood work. And they said, you know, we just think it's because you've been lying in bed. And but then when another team came in and they said, no, you know what, our gut is, there's something wrong. Luckily they kept me, because in the middle of the night, at this point I'm undilated and unaware of what's going on. So I'm hearing this from my family after the fact. But they discovered that from the IV, I had gotten staph. A.
What?
That's now bloodborne.
And incredibly painful.
Well, yeah. And they, you know, they kept thinking, you know, at first they thought I have a little, it's called schwannoma on one of my nerves. So they thought maybe I had cancer. I mean, there's just every doctor you could think of is coming in trying to figure out what's going wrong. Unfortunately, so I'm in the hospital for 11 days. I'm still showing positive with the blood cultures, which is not a good sign. Typically, once you're on the antibiotics, you know, within 24 hours, they want to see your blood culture showing you negative for the bacteria. Day 5, I am still positive. I'm still undilated. I'm still totally unaware of what's going on. They're looking for it, maybe going in, that's in my heart, my lungs. The third place they can go is my spine. And for some reason, they did not pay attention to that. They kept saying, lady, you know, you've been lying in bed. Of course, your back hurts. You know, who doesn't have back problems in her 60s? Well, I never had back trouble. And I kept saying I never did. But anyway, they put me on another medication. I started to get better, and I was released from the hospital 11 days later with a PICC line, and that's a line that goes in, actually, your arm. I still have a little scar from it. Goes into your chest, delivers antibiotics, and they sent me home with a bag of, where I would have to have a new bag of antibiotics, and I walked around with the thing wrapped around me, a machine for 24-hour antibiotics for 30 days. What they didn't tell me or my family was, is the antibiotic that, the second antibiotic they put me on that was making me better, they took me off of it and sent me home with the one that wasn't working.
Oh, wow. So yeah. 30 days of antibiotics.
Right. And I made it to 2.5 weeks. Went home to my townhouse, which was a mile from my daughter and her husband. I said, you know, I just want to go home and just be in my own space. Very first day I was there, I walked a walker with a mile, because I'm now released with a walker. I can't move very well. And I went to go, I had a townhouse, 27 steps, took 13, you got up 13 steps, was in the kitchen, went to go retire. And I went to go take a step on the landing, and I couldn't move. And called my daughter and her husband. They took me back to the hospital. At this point now, I'm becoming hypothermic. My temperature's dropping. I got back, I got to the hospital, and of course all my blood works great. They want to send me home. My son-in-law, thank goodness, you really got to be your own advocate. They said, you need to, you're fine. You've got antibiotics, just go home. You know, you just weren't feeling good. Maybe you walked too long. Your blood works perfect. Your white blood cells counts great. And my son-in-law said, we are not leaving until you do an MRI. She keeps complaining about her back. And they said, you had an MRI 3 weeks ago. It was fine. He says, I'm sorry, we're staying. And she said, we're going to call security. He said, you call who you want. We're going to get an MRI. I finally got it about 3 a.m. and they came back about 2 hours later and said, you're not going anywhere. You have discitis, osteomyelitis. The bacteria has now spread to your spine. It's in your spinal canal and an abscess. And if that ruptures, you're going to die because it goes right to your brain. And your discs are collapsing and you are sick. You're not going anywhere. So it's a good thing he fought. And that doctor who wouldn't do it never was not the one who came back to tell us. She actually sent a nurse in to go tell us how sick I was.
Oh, my goodness. Thank goodness for your son-in-law.
I know.
That's one of the biggest.
He's a big guy. He's 6'2", and he's like, I'm not budging. I don't care what you do. You call all the security you want. We're not going until we get the MRI.
Right. That's my advice I give for people, too. When you have health issues, you got to be your own advocate. You got to take it into your own hands, because it seems like so many times, just when you said that, I'm like, yeah, I've been there. They just try to get you out of there. Just go home. You're fine. And you're like, no, yeah. I know something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
No, just go home. You got to.
Yeah. And you have to make sure that you have an advocate for you, because I was too sick to advocate for myself.
Right.
I had no fight in me. I mean, I'm really, I'm now becoming sicker. I'm now becoming septic. And you really need somebody who's not going to back down, and maybe two people who work together who aren't going to back down, because there's a lot that you have to advocate for and a lot you have to fight for and a lot they're going to try to get you to accept that, you can end up dying.
Right. It's such a sad thing, but it's so true. Just real quick, my good friend Jeff, he's on a journey to be cancer free. He was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, inoperable, incurable. And he knew something was wrong. And he demanded, he's like, I want a colonoscopy. And they wouldn't do it. And he had to practically beg them. And it was over and over again until they finally did it. Turns out he has stage 4 terminal cancer that he had to fight for just to get the colonoscopy. So it's, so important, so critical.
Well, it is. And, I think they have to answer to we think we have insurance, but we really don't. And it's really managed care. And they don't want to, get slapped. They're careful about what tests they run and they don't listen to the patient. I mean, they really don't. So you definitely have to advocate. But anyway, I had emergency surgery in the middle of the night. Took a lot to convince the doctor. The doctor, they did not want to operate on me because now I'm loaded in my muscles and my spine, bloodborne, this bacteria. And nobody wants to open me up and touch that. But I did. I had surgical debridement where they hose you down, and they finally convinced him and said, this woman is not going to make it through the night if you don't do this. She just is not going to. She's got too many things wrong with her that she's dealing with other than to fight this bacteria that's been in her, raging through her body. So I did have the surgical debridement, came through. And so my stroke was February 7th. I got out of the hospital the first week in April, not without some complications. They didn't do the blood testing that they should have. And I ended up being allergic to the antibiotic, and it destroyed all my white blood cells. So now I'm in lockdown for a week. And while they're first trying to figure out, they said it was the worst they'd seen for somebody not cancer, dealing with cancer. I had no white blood cells. And so now they're trying to figure out what kind of illness I have. And then they realized it was the vancomycin antibiotic, plus the other two, was on series of three, that destroyed my white blood cells, and they didn't run blood work, so it never got caught until I had nothing. So now I'm in lockdown another week, I finally get released and I go to inpatient rehab for 3 weeks to try to walk again.
Hmm.
And that's the end of April. So it's, you know, good 2.5, 3.5 months that I was in there.
So the stroke's in February, you think that would be the worst of it, and then it just gets worse and worse.
Two and a half months. And at this point, the back was so bad. You know, it was the least they gave, and that's where the one where Dr. Baker said, oh, I give you less than 50, you know, 50. They said, you know, 50-50, you know, it usually comes back, and it's really hard to fight. At this point, because so many antibiotics weren't working, they said, we believe you have MRSA, not Staph A. And MRSA is the antibiotic resistant. Because normally the one that they gave me that they sent me home with would have been fine. But now I'm on like my fifth or sixth antibiotic. And it was finally daptomycin that did it. And I went to actually rehab with the daptomycin and the same a new PICC line. And they said, we think it's MRSA that you had because my bacteria was resistant to all of the antibiotics that it should have been.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, the blood cultures were contaminated, so we don't know.
Jeez.
I know. Like, how do you contaminate, like, four? Because they take blood cultures from both arms, and they take double, and all of them are contaminated. But one of the doctors, they did say, and it was in my notes, which I read 500 pages in notes after this was a year later, and that's where they said, you know, yeah, we suspect MRSA. But anyway, I came home, I did the physical therapy 3 times a week. I had home health, very limited in my movement, had to sit and wash my hair, had to sit to cook. I'm still on all my other medications. I'm still seeing the Parkinson's doctor. I'm still rheumatoid arthritis, still with asthma, you know, still seeing the gastro. I had, you know, neurogenic bladder with the Parkinson's, so I'm seeing the urologist. I mean, it's just nonstop. And I had a rough time. I didn't get very far to get rid of the walker and got a cane. But it was about 15 months into the journey from the time I was released from the hospital where they just said, you're not going to get any better with PT. You need to just live with it and accept the fact that your life is limited.
Hmm. And how long ago was that?
So that was 3 years ago. Not quite. Yeah, 3 years. I was almost 2 years into my journey before I found a new way to live.
Okay.
So it was 2 years after. And then I'm just now 3 years of my healing journey.
And how I'm sorry.
No. I was just in survival mode those first 2 years.
So your healing journey, how did that start?
So I was, walked every day, usually just a couple blocks and my mailbox story where, I pass this mailbox. Sometimes I get to a quarter mile, it usually set me back for about 4 days. Most of the time I just get to the mailbox and turn around maybe a block or two after. And one day I noticed the mailbox for the first time and thought, I just can't walk anymore. I hurt. It just, I'm going to. And my family's already talking about putting me in a home down the road because I'm really not doing well. And I turn around really just in absolute defeat. And as I'm turning around, I hear a voice and it said, and not like a sound voice, but just, you know, that internal question, which for me was divine, was God. And that was as well. So you can't walk where you want to walk. What do you have in you? What can you do? And I stopped and I scanned my body for the first time, I think, in years. And I have 10 steps. And I took those 10 steps and I went home and I didn't think much about it. And kept doing that to the new place plus 10 steps. And it was shortly after. So now I've put on some weight and I know that I need to get it off for my back. And that's where I went to a weight loss clinic across the street. I'm still not comprehending things. I'm thinking, I want to give me a weight loss pill. What's another drug? I'm already on 13 plus. I just want to get this off. And Well, he sat me down, spent an hour and a half with me. We really connected. A great guy. He had been sick himself, and that's where he proceeded to. So I'm still really strongly plant-based, like really, like maybe a hamburger once a month. And that's where he started to say, "I want you to eat 50% fat, 25 protein, and 25 healthy carbs," which was easy. And I looked at him. I said, "Are you nuts?" I said, "One, my Parkinson's medicine isn't going to work, and I'm going to get fat, and I'm trying to lose weight, and you want me to eat 50% of my diet in fat?" And he asked me to trust him. And at this point, I didn't have anything to lose, I guess, so I said yes. And I trusted him. And I started to, people say, "Well, how soon did you feel good?" And the first 30 days I got through, let's just say I didn't feel worse, and I had been feeling worse as the weeks were going on. I mean, I'm really failing quick, and my spirits are failing really quick. And about 3 months, I started to feel a little physically better, starting to get some energy, and I started to find myself wanting beef more often, wanting to have a steak, wanting to eat instead of the half a steak, the whole steak, wanting to eat the fat on the steak. And it was about 6 or 9 months into the journey where my fat intake is getting higher, like 70, 80%. And some of it kind of by accident. And I'm just noticing, well, I'm feeling good when I'm doing it. So I said, and I would meet him once a week, "Can I keep going with this?" He said, "Sure." And I did. And that's when I started to notice my neuro symptoms were, all my symptoms were improving. That's where I started to question my Parkinson's diagnosis, and my neuro symptoms were starting to go away. It was about 9 months. And when I say I didn't falter, I stuck with this. I did not, have any candy. I didn't have any sugar. I didn't have any carbs. I mean, I at this point now, after a few months, and I'm starting to feel better energy, I just ran with it, and I just started to look at, anything else that what wasn't recommended is not my benefit. And it was when my neuro symptoms started to improve that the light bulb went off in my head. And
So,
then I really got the impact. And I considered myself a healthy eater. But I really got the impact of, well, it's more than just being a healthy eater. What food are you putting in you, and how you can heal from it?
So that 6, you said 9 months or so, you started.
9 months, the neuro problems. I really started to see them. I started to notice, well, now I'm, before I could tell you to the just about the minute when my 3 and a half.
Carrie here for the Carnivore Diet movie, and thank you so much for watching our YouTube videos and listening to our podcast. It's because of you and your support that we're able to do this Carnivore Diet documentary. We're making great progress, and I'm not going to stop until we reach millions of people. But we still need to raise more funds in order to film this properly to the level needed to get it on one of these big streaming services. So we're asking for your help. If you would, please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. And once you're there, you can sign up for free to our email newsletter. And once a week, we'll be sending out updates behind the scenes. We'll tell you about new meetups. We'll give you special invites and things like that. Completely free. Sign up there. The other thing you can do at the website is purchase our little portable travel size Redmond salt shaker with a keychain holder. People have been loving these. We offered them on our 24-hour live stream. You can purchase these right on the website, and every proceed, every penny that we get from profit goes right towards the Carnivore Diet documentary. And the other thing we have there are the water bottles and the cutting boards. They're completely customizable, and you can engrave them. Every penny from those goes to support the Carnivore Diet documentary. You can also link on over to the GoFundMe. That's where we'll get the most bang for your buck is there. So please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. Thank you.
5 hours was up because I had my pills on the counter ready to swallow them.
Right.
Because I knew I was going to be off. And that just is, it's uncomfortable. It's painful. I'd feel really so. I knew that, and now all of a sudden I'm going four and a half hours. And I'm like, I'm not sure I need to take my medicine yet. That was the first thing. I started to sleep better. I had part of the continued Parkinson's was I had dystonia, which is a really painful condition where you're, and I had nighttime, where your limbs seize up. You know, so I wake up with my foot twisted or my arm, hand twisted in the worst positions you can imagine, and you can't straighten them or move them. I had severe restless leg syndrome. I was taking medications for that. I mean, off the charts, my leg was going like, you know, they just were amazed. It's just like, how do you even sleep a moment? And I think when I did the testing for that, I had 3 minutes of REM sleep. And I was like, that's a good night for me. I feel really good. And she goes, you had 3 minutes of REM. And I'm like, is that all? And it was probably one of my better nights. So I started to notice that got better. I also had night terrors, which was part of Parkinson's. That started getting better. My energy, my movement. I wasn't slow. I'm getting up from a chair. I'm not moving like I'm 110. I just started getting some energy, started walking more. So, you know, here I couldn't get to a quarter of a mile in a year and a half of pushing myself. I do my 10 steps, add, then changing my diet. And within a year, I'm, 1 to 2 miles I'm walking at a nice pace. Just by adding 10 more steps, I kept doing those 10 steps. And I, you know, something changed in my head when I did those, that consistency. And I also say, I know how to push myself really hard. And that 10 steps where I was really gentle and very easy with myself, and I gave up pushing and just, I'm just going to do a little bit every day, and I'm going to do the same amount of little every day until I get to back to my 2 miles that I did every day. And I got there quicker than I had trying to push myself for a year and a half.
Wow. So you were saying like 9 months in, you started increasing the fat intake. Like when you first started with the nutritionist, was it just pretty like ketogenic and then you kind of evolved more carnivore?
Yeah. And he didn't tell me it was ketogenic. You know, it's just, I want 50% of your calories fat. And I just felt, and I fat starved probably since I was 20. I mean, I just didn't have fat. And I absolutely craved it. My brain craved it. So my cognitive slowing improved. I mean, everything has reversed from that. My just body just absolutely craved it. And I just kept going with it. And it was been carnivore 14 months now. Last January, I stuck with the keto. I stuck with getting the fat. I still have trouble with my immune system. I still can be prone to, so I got off of all my, just to back up real quick, I started to eliminate my medications on my own.
Wow.
I started to get off of them. And my last two medications were when I started to think, well, I'm not sure I have Parkinson's because I'm getting better. I started to eliminate very slowly over a course of 3 or 4 months, my medications for Parkinson's. So like 25 milligrams every couple of days. I went from 1200 down to 0 milligrams. And then my last medication was, they said I'd have to be on antibiotics for life because the bacteria, encapsulates and hides in your body. And mine was allowed to seed too long in my body and too severely. So I was on Bactrim DS, which is pretty strong, 800 milligrams twice a day. And they said I'd have to be on them for life against doctor's orders, which I don't recommend anybody do. But I felt I was strong and well enough, and I took myself off of them. And that was my last medication. I've been medication free for 2 years.
So you were on like every medication under the sun, and now you're medication free.
Medication free. Yeah, the only thing I have to do is if I get a cold, I have emergency asthma, I might have to take a puff or two of that, only with a cold, not exercise induced. But yeah, I'm off of all my medications. And but I'm prone to the ear infections, which is, I think, part of my immune system. It still is, and I'm still don't think I'm 100%. I'm probably guessing maybe 80%. And so that's where I decided I'm going to just go carnivore. I'm going to streamline my diet even more and see how I respond. And it's been, so 14 months has been very good for me. I love it. And I'm feeling good. 2 years ago, actually, to March is when I added weight training. And I work with a private trainer 3 times a week. And that took me from feeling good to actually soaring. Wow. And I don't miss my weight training. So I do that. And then with the carnivore, I have no doctors. You know, I go for a yearly exam, and I'm not even good about that. I'm healthy. I don't need to see anybody. And people say, well, what about your blood work? Well, I'm healthy. Why do I need to get blood work?
Right. That's amazing. You look incredible too, by the way. You've got
thank you.
You have the carnivore glow. I always see people.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I really was looking 80 and plus. Yeah, I'm going to be 70 in 6 months. And I really was looking, I mean, at just in front of my family. It's just like, I mean, you are just an 80 plus woman. And, you know, I've reversed all that and then some.
That's amazing.
It really is.
You know, at 70, I listen to you and look at you talking, and I don't feel like I'm talking to a 70-year-old. Not that 70 should be old, but unfortunately, no. What we see nowadays, most people that are 70, they're in a nursing home and they're not lifting weights like you are and going on long walks and exercising. I did a video with Dr. Barry a long time ago, and I showed him a picture of a friend. His name is Alex. He's 65, but he went on carnivore for like 2 years. He looks like he's like 40, not even. I showed him to Dr. Barry and I said, look, carnivore de-ages people. And Dr. Barry put his Dr. Barry finger up. He's like, no. He's like, that's what normal 65-year-olds would look like if they were eating the proper human diet and they weren't inflamed and seed oils and sugar and all of this stuff. I'm like, I guess so.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I've come to the conclusion that I look like a 70-year-old is supposed to look. Everybody else just looks older for their age.
Yes.
I'm absolutely convinced of that now. And that's been in the last year that I've changed my diet even more, that I'm like, no, I really believe this is what 70 is supposed to look like, that we have it wrong, and that we're also, it benefits a lot of, my new favorite tagline that I came up with is live by nature, not the system. I think the system really benefits from us accepting the fact that we should look a lot older and feel older than we are, because that requires us to take a lot of medications, and people are really trained to expect that and to think it's normal. And what's one more? I mean, I was there myself.
Right.
You know, it was not until I had that big aha moment where I realized, no, this isn't normal.
I think the other incredible thing too is, I mean, humans are so visual. Like you said, you're what 70-year-olds should look like, but also how you feel. That's the crazy thing. Most 70-year-olds, aches and pains and ailments and issues and mobility problems. I'm so fortunate, but I've done quite a few YouTube videos about carnivore. And one of the first ones I did was with a gentleman named Carnivore Ron. And I think he's 70 now. Anyhow, he looks way younger than his age, and he's just thriving. And he's like, all of my peers that are 70, they've got aches and pains and mobility issues. And he's like, it's just inflammation. Most of it is the nutrition, the food they're eating.
Right.
And I love your thing, live by, sorry, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, of course.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there. I didn't hang up on you.
No, that's right.
I was just going to say, I love your line, live by nature. This whole documentary we're doing, that's kind of the big takeaway. We're doing a documentary following people doing a proper human diet for a year that are trying to overcome obesity, diabetes, depression, mental health, women's health, all sorts of issues. But in the end, I'm like, if I get one message across, it's not just eat this way. It's return to what is natural. I think that's why humanity is so sick. The foods we're eating and everything we're putting into our body causes so much inflammation. And then we do it for years and years. But it's also everything else like that you were doing wonderfully before this, getting exercise, getting sunlight, doing natural things like that. It's like everyone's on their phone just doing this all day under fluorescent lights, right, and eating worse and worse food.
Yeah. I mean, I as soon as this is done, I'll turn off all my lights. I light candles at night. And I have, you know, blue light blocking glasses if I'm going to watch a movie, though I unplug. You know, I'm on Twitter and I do a good night post and I say good night at 6:30 because I'm unplugging for the night. People like to, and I do go to bed early, but I live by circadian rhythm. I get sun, I sun gaze. Introduced a cold swim, so I swim in the cold ocean without a wetsuit. And I love that. And I'm pretty cold adapted. My place is 64 degrees. I know that's nothing for you, but you know, the heat never goes on here, because this is Charleston. But yeah, I just embrace every bit of it as I can. And I sleep 8 to 10 hours a night now. I mean, I was on my last, you know, my last hope with my sleep was so severely, so horrible. And I sleep 8 to 10 hours. Now, last night, I didn't get a good night's sleep for some reason, but I do, and I sleep rested.
Yeah.
And, you know, you need all of that to heal. You need, when you're sick, and you need all of that to stay well. And also a big one from the very beginning, and mostly because I was really sick, I started to source my food from local farms. I get my beef from regenerative farmers.
Oh, my apps,
I just do. And I don't buy them in the grocery store. And my favorite beef is from Independence Arcs Farms. And I get eggs and I get farm raw butter. I make my own kimchi. I don't do well with dairy. But occasionally I might, actually taking a goat fermenting class in a couple weeks. I'm going to try doing goat kefir and see if I can get a little bit of that for my gut. But yeah, I go back to all of those healthy things. And, you know, I have like 8 foods that I eat. I do include, I'm on the ocean. I do include wild seafood in my diet and oysters when they're in season. So I'm not just strict beef every day.
Right. So I think I know the answer, but what is this, carnivore for life? You're going to be eating this way forever now, or do you have any?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. Until my body tells me it's not serving me.
Right.
And I honestly don't ever see that happening. You know, a lot of people are like, okay, you're well, so let's
go back to moderation.
Yeah. Like, I know. And I, you know, they've given up, but I was like, wait, I got well on this. Why would I even go back and change?
Yeah.
It's really interesting though. So many people just can't wrap their head around how I eat, but they can wrap their head around the packaged food that they eat and the medications they take.
Yeah.
But no, I have no, and I don't suspect that my body will tell me that it should change. I'm just thriving and honestly, I'm still getting better and better.
Yes. That's amazing. Man, your story, I can't believe what you've gone through. It's just crazy. There's lots of similarities to mine too, but I've not experienced anything like you have, but I had a mini stroke, similar. Oh. Yeah. And I had arthritis. I don't know if it was rheumatoid arthritis, but I had arthritis so bad in my foot, I could barely walk. It was about 18 months. I was using a mobility scooter.
Oh.
I was on, similar to you, just, I have a bin. I don't have it with me here. I sometimes show it on my channel, a bin of medication. I think I was on like 25 different pills. Like at one time, it was just pills for acid reflux, pills for depression, anxiety, sleeping, arthritis, injections. Then I had the stroke. Then I had congestive heart failure. And I'm just like you, no medications at all anymore. And
isn't that fantastic?
It's amazing. And the thing is, it's so frustrating for me. I've seen, you've told your story to several people now, and you're really passionate about it, which I love. I don't know how you can't be when you've had such an incredible turnaround. But it's so frustrating for me to see other people out there, because it's like you just said, Mimi, they can't wrap their brains around what we're doing. Yeah. They're doing the opposite. They're suffering. So many people out there right now with mental health issues, obesity, diabetes. And they're all like, I could never do what you're doing. And I kind of get it because it's so weird, but I don't know about you. Now that I'm doing carnivore now, I'm coming up on 1 year. It's the easiest thing in the world. Like it's like,
oh, it's so easy.
Yeah. I eat a steak. Sometimes I forget to eat. I'm like, and if your life is hard because you have to eat lots of steak, then you might have to reevaluate some things.
I know.
It's a blessing.
But imagine how hard their life is not feeling well. I mean, that wears on you. That wears on your soul. It wears on your your mentally, emotionally. You know, when you're in chronic pain, when you're chronic sick, I mean, it's just like the weight of it is just, and then when one more thing goes wrong, and one more thing will go wrong, if you don't turn it around, you just become almost like a shell of a person just trying to get through the day. I mean,
I love everything you're saying.
Oh, thank you.
I'm sorry, I want to interrupt. We're like on the same wavelength for sure. I was just talking to someone about this because the whole documentary is talking about these chronic illnesses like diabetes and women's health issues. But aside from all of that, if we ignore all of that, like a lot of humanity is doing, because they're just like, oh, I just eat sugar and junk food. It's just the way it is. If we ignore all of that, I totally agree with what you just said. The majority of humanity that's eating the standard American diet, they've got that brain fog and the fatigue, and they're constantly tired because they're putting the wrong fuel in and they got these sicknesses. And when you're like that, you're just going along to get along. You come home, you plop down on the couch, and you're doing the bare minimum to get by in life.
Right.
You've got kids and you love your kids, but you're not going out and throwing the baseball around because you're so tired and exhausted all the time. You're sleeping 2 hours at night. Your immune system's weak. It's like, and then it goes on for so long. I think it becomes a new normal for people. They're like, that's
it does. Crazy. And it's very sad. It's very sad.
It's hard to break too. It turns into this social norm where everyone's just like, no, this is just normal that 70% of people in America are overweight or diabetic or cancer rates are skyrocketing. That's just the way it's always been. And it's like, no, it hasn't. It's just become this new normal.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah. So, wow, your story is just incredible. I can't believe we've been talking for over an hour already. I open invitation if you ever want to chat again. For sure.
Oh, thank you. Whenever you want to have me, I really enjoyed it. It was great. But whenever you want me, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for sharing your story because it's going to inspire so many people. I know you already are. I saw the video you did with Dr. Baker and some other ones. And that's the only way I think people will change. Like you and I want to tell people, just do this, just eat it. But I think that your story will inspire people. And they're going to say, if Mimi can do it, I'm desperate right now. Why don't I give it a try?
Yeah.
That's why I do these videos, and that's why we're doing the whole documentaries. Just share the documented stories.
And the fact that I'm my age and could turn it around and reverse my life, you know, really says so many people, even in their 50s, they just pack it up. I'm done. I'm just going to go ride this wave until being old and accept it. And it's like, no, you don't have to. And I'm symptom free. So I'm not only off of my medications, I am symptom free of everything.
Right.
You know, it's not like, oh, I'm off on my medication and I'm, you know, trying to get by. No, I have no symptoms.
You probably would have been ecstatic before if you could have just flatlined and been normal, but you're like turning into the opposite of that now.
I mean, because as I'm starting to feel better, I'm like, I'm just going to keep going with this. And then weight training just put me in a whole other level. And I keep getting, better. As a matter of fact, real quick, I'm hoping to do it this fall. I need to make sure that I don't have any recurrent infections. If not, I'll postpone to next spring. Physically, I know I can do it, but I've had a dream of walking the St. Francis of Assisi Trail, the French Way. It's 800 kilometers, 500 miles.
Wow.
And I've been given a gift of whatever I wanted to do for a travel or if I wanted to do a venture. And so it's about 40 days. My goal still, I'm aiming for September, October to walk the 500 miles.
Wow. Good for you. That's amazing. Yeah. You're going to do it too. It's like bring that adventure back, right? That would be an adventure.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, it would be my last big one. It's a spiritual pilgrimage as well as a physical pilgrimage. And I had given it up and been thinking about it for the last year and working with my trainer and my physical therapy person who's helped me with my shoulder, and we all feel pretty confident that I can do it. I just promised my family I wouldn't get sick with another infection while I was out there, and I need to have a few more months free.
Right.
I'm not, you know, getting another sinus infection, which sets me back.
Right.
A little bit. So yeah, I'm excited.
That is exciting. That's so inspiring. I just want to mention one last thing real quick too. I don't know if you've heard of, have you ever heard of the rancher Maggie from Canada?
Oh yes. She looks fabulous.
See, we interviewed her for the documentary. I spent a week with her.
Did you?
I think she just turned 83 now. And next level. Like, she's at 83 right now, and she's been eating the way you and I eat for 65 years.
Gosh. Well, no wonder she looks as good as she looks. I never guessed it. And I don't know how she looks in person, but she looks in her 60s.
Yeah. And the looks is crazy, right? But then when I spent a week with her, her demeanor, her energy, it was next level. I could barely keep up with her. And I've been doing carnivore for a year now. I'm a younger man. She works on a farm. We were following around on the farm. We're building fences. She's jumping over fences at 83 years old. At one point, she carried a 5-gallon bucket of feed times four. She had 2 5-gallon buckets of feed in one hand and then in another. I could barely lift them. She's lifting them up, carrying them around. And at one point, she went like this and just flexed. Speaking of weight training, she's just ripped. She looks like a bodybuilder and in her 80s.
Yeah.
But she has the wisdom of an 83-year-old, but the energy of like a 25-year-old. Like, we could barely keep up with her. And I said to her, I said, when are you going to slow down, Maggie? And she said, Carrie, I'm 82 years old right now. I'm just getting started. Yeah. She's not retiring. She's not slowing down. And she told me this too. She said, people can laugh at me and they can make fun of me or whatever they want, but I'm going to live to be 120 easily. And if you look at science, like Dr. Chafee's talked about this before, a lot of the science out there points to the fact that humans should be living to be 120. And I think for the reasons we talked about earlier, the only reason they're not is because of chronic inflammation, putting all this wrong food in our bodies for so long.
Yeah.
If I would put my money on Maggie surpassing 120, no problem.
Yeah.
And the thing is, she's not just inching to 120. She's thriving. She's living her life to the fullest, jumping fences, energetic and full of life, which is just incredible.
Yeah, and I believe it. I feel like I'm just getting started.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm not going to, I don't know that I could live to 120, you know, because I haven't been eating like she has, and I had a lot to go through. But I plan on weight training until it's my last day on earth.
Mm.
Carrie here for the Carnivore Diet movie, and thank you so much for watching our YouTube videos and listening to our podcast. It's because of you and your support that we're able to do this Carnivore Diet documentary. We're making great progress, and I'm not going to stop until we reach millions of people. But we still need to raise more funds in order to film this properly to the level needed to get it on one of these big streaming services. So we're asking for your help. If you would, please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. And once you're there, you can sign up for free to our email newsletter. And once a week, we'll be sending out updates behind the scenes. We'll tell you about new meetups. We'll give you special invites and things like that. Completely free. Sign up there. The other thing you can do at the website is purchase our little portable travel size Redmond salt shaker with a keychain holder. People have been loving these. We offered them on our 24-hour live stream. You can purchase these right on the website, and every proceed, every penny that we get from profit goes right towards the Carnivore Diet documentary. And the other thing we have there are the water bottles and the cutting boards. They're completely customizable and you can engrave them. Every penny from those goes to support the Carnivore Diet documentary. You can also link on over to the GoFundMe. That's where we'll get the most bang for your buck is there. So please visit www.carnivoredietmovie.com. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not stopping. I'm just going to keep going with what I'm doing.
That's awesome. I think you said the 500 miles is the last big one. That's probably going to be your first one.
it might be.
Let's do another.
Let's do another one.
One more adventure.
I do have a couple on that list. So.
Right.
You know, yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
This has been great talking to you.
Great talking to you.
I had like 25 questions, and I was so enthralled with your story. It's just incredible. You could have like a movie about it. And, it's like, and then the turnaround, it's just amazing. I know you're on Twitter. Is there anywhere else? I definitely want to link to you and tell people
sure.
to learn more from
I'm
me.
On Instagram as well. Same name, Mimi K. Morgan. I'm on Twitter every day and a lot. I'm often there. I'm still trying to figure out the mechanics of Instagram. And so I'm a little bit slow on posting. I'm working on getting better and trying to be there every single day on Instagram. But definitely Twitter is where you'll where you'll find me, and I'm there all day.
I will have links in the description below for Mimi's Twitter, Instagram. If you do the when you do the 500 mile journey, are you going to do any social media with that, or maybe just afterwards?
No, I think I'll do it while I'm going along, and I've got a lot of people that are encouraging me, including a lot of writers. I think I'll write a book.
Oh yes,
that will go from my illness part, and then end sometime after the journey. And so, you know, I'm going to definitely do social media while I'm doing it.
Yes. I'm selfishly happy to hear that, because I'll be following along. That's
going
to
be good. Well, thank you.
The book too. That's amazing. Please definitely stay in touch. I will gladly promote the book, and I'd love to talk to you some more. Thank you so much,
Mimi.
Right.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend, and you have my email, my contact information. I'd love to talk with you about the documentary.
Yes, 100%. Thank you so much.
This is great. I appreciate it. It's so wonderful. Thank you.